and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Laurie Wyman and starring John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. One of the problems with Mr. Murray's promotion is that as the captain of Troutbridge, he has by tradition to be invited into the wardroom by the other officers. He can't use it without their invitation. The problem isn't one that concerns him, it concerns the other officers. Once they invite him in, they can never get him out again. He likes it there. This morning he's being a perfect pest to the padre and the telechart, the engineering officer, who made the mistake of being trapped in the wardroom with him.
More coffee?
Trapped?
So kind, Commander Murray. But after saying tar three lumps, please, four times already, one's in a dirty wash.
Oh. How about you, Lieutenant Sharp?
What? Oh, yes. No. Definitely no. I made up my mind now, no. It's nice of you to ask, sir. I much appreciate it. Had five already. Still a nice thought. Any other time, things to do and all that. Splendid up to now. Mustn't let things slide. Needed downstairs shortly. You know, having car. Also nice of you, but first thing first. I mean, there are...
Lieutenant Sharp.
Sir?
Just no thanks would have done.
I'm sorry to bother you. Anyone seen the ship's carpenter?
Yes, he's the one who smells as if he's made of wood. Why?
Oh, I just wondered if he could put a shelf up for me. So I can stack my selected works of Edgar Allan Poe, along with my other books, The Morbid Hearse, In the Purple Bog, and Much About Maiden in the Morgue.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Phillips. He's removing the splinters from the bunk in my cabin.
Huh. These days, everybody's got priorities.
Now, what's the matter with him?
I'm afraid our brother officer has been a touchy these days. I fear, alas, he's been bitten by the bug. Bitten by the bug.
Oh, dear. He's not in love again.
He is, but I fear she isn't.
Yeah, I say, Padre, I had a thought. Let me get another cup of coffee for you.
No, thank you.
Well, let me get another for you, sir.
Thanks very much. I'm sure I'm not intruding. It's just that sitting in the captain's cabin on my own, it gets so lonely.
Of course. However, I do evidently intend to hang about in here for a bit. Do you think I could possibly borrow my morning paper?
Oh, is this yours, Padre? Here you are. I'm afraid I've done the crossword.
Oh, dish. And probably tough.
Frankly, sorry, but I thought you were reading a magazine.
No.
But you've got it there. I can't quite see the front page. What's it called?
Oh, it's, it seems to be called, Girls, Giggles, and, Garters.
Padre.
A pure accident, I promise you. I thought it was my parish magazine. The Canterbury Times. It wasn't until I reached the bouncy lady on page 48 that I realized my error.
Frankly, I should have thought you'd have realized that on page one.
Yes, well, for the first 47 pages, pages number 1 to 47, I just thought the bishop had gone berserk. And done his nut. Done his nut!
Yeah, obviously. Who on earth ordered that thing?
Well, one does not wish to tell tales out of school, but the news agent has written the name Phillips on the frontispiece.
Yes. And that piece has got quite a frontis. I said, no, perhaps you're right.
Come in. I'll call me in to his knowledge, I think. But has anybody seen it? No, sir. My mouth again, sir. I think I've got Mr. Phillips's comic instead, and frankly, it isn't the same.
No, if this is it, I imagine there is quite a difference. We were wondering what Mr. Phillips was doing with it.
Yeah, of course, sir. Especially as he's right off birds at the moment.
Mr. Sharp, weren't you supposed to be getting me another cup of coffee?
I'll take it, sir. Back in the flash with a fresh one, sir. Stay right where you are, sir. Shan't be sick.
Ah! Oh, hey, who's that? Who shut that door? One of our flying cups and saucers failed to return.
Hello, you chaps.
Unfortunately, however, our careworn and melancholy little Chelsea band survived.
I don't suppose for a minute my comic's turned up.
Yes, yes, it has.
I bet it's not as good as last week's.
Oh, yes, it is, sir. Yes, it's complete with the Wonder Free gift. It's the whoosh-bang super plastic spaceship, sir. With special reinforced elastic rocket motors.
I understand that if you're having a bath, they don't recommend launching it. Could turn very nasty.
Cheapskates.
Now, now, don't give up.
Turn the other cheek.
Not in the bath, I won't.
What I meant, Mr. Phillips, was that if you've been spurned by a Delilah, then take a lesson from Samson and do as he did.
I don't want a haircut.
That wasn't quite the lesson I wished to impart. I meant you should rise again. After all, there are plenty more fish in the sea.
Padre, I'm the one who is washed up. I'm glad you're here, Commander Murray, sir. I want your permission to paint my cabin black. It goes with my mood.
Permission refused, Mr. Phillips.
Huh. Everyone's against me.
Oh, I don't think we can have very much more of that. What are we going to do about lovable, lovelorn Leslie?
As I see it, sir, we've just got to get him interested in another bird.
Preferably one that has no ear for music. Oh. Except for the organ, of course.
Yes, of course, yes. So, how about my start and by leaving me girls, giggles and garters here? You never know, he might even go in for the competition on the back page and win a date with the winner.
I just got to that. Select Miss Girls, Giggles and Unmentionables for 1970.
Well, oh, yes. But I'd say Miss A, definitely. A fine naval display. I said a... Pardon, Padre.
Not at all. In any case, I fear you are hopelessly wrong in your selection. Obviously, it is Miss C.
Oh, why?
She is far more angelic.
Not in a bikini that size, she's not.
Now, what's your choice, Chief?
A B, sir. Most certainly Miss B.
Yes. For the obvious reasons, I presume?
Exactly, sir. If you turn her sideways, her silhouette matches the letter B perfectly.
Right. If I've still got the Padre's pencil from his crossword, I'll fill them in. Now, I've got A, you Chief chose B, the Padre's got C.
No kind.
Go get Mr. Phillips D.
Oh, what her, sir?
D for dim.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, I just wasn't thinking.
Now, we've got two left, E and F.
Well, I suggest we give E to Captain Povey.
Captain Povey? Whatever for?
Oh, she'll never win, sir. Up against the other five, sir. She looks like an undernourished twiggy.
Yeah, good thinking. Remind me the next time I see old Thundercats, I want his sixpence entrance fee.
What, okay.
That leaves us with, The Sound of Music for our engineering officer, Mr. Sharp.
Oh.
Didn't you get it?
No. F. Sharp.
It's a musical term. The sound of Julie Andrews and thing. She's in this nunnery and there's children and they climb every... Oh, to blazes with it. Sharp gets F. Hello? Wardroom Captain speaking.
Abel Stephen Tiddy speaking, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's only 10:30, so it's good morning.
Ah, well, you know about these things, sir. You're the one with the watch.
Oh, yes, of course. What is it, Tiddy?
I'm on the WT, sir.
Oh. What do you want? Congratulations?
I meant the radio room, sir. Urgent phone call from Captain Povey, sir. Must see you at Mr. Phillips in his office straight away, sir.
Just a moment, Tiddy. If Captain Povey wanted to speak to me on the phone, why didn't you put him through?
I couldn't, sir. Your line was engaged.
Really?
Yes, sir. I was speaking to you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Anyone got a tin tack on them?
Funnily enough, sir.
No.
What do you want it for?
Nothing much. I need one to hang up my picture of Dorian Gray.
No, you don't. There's no time. We've both got to go over to Captain Povey's office immediately.
Why? Has he got a tin tack?
Oh, shut up. Come on. And trust you not to realize that on Thursday night,
Sir Willoughby Todhunter Brown is throwing this welcome to him party aboard your ship on his appointment as the new naval attaché, brackets docks superintendent in chief.
I'm terribly sorry, sir. I've never even heard of that appointment before.
Exactly. That's why the appointment is new.
What? He's invited all the officers and their ladies to this informal gathering in your wardroom.
That settles it. I can't go.
Why not?
I haven't got a ladies.
What?
I haven't got an... Listen, excuse me. Beg your pardon. Universe. Whoops. My error. Would you care for Crisp to take with me?
Oh, we'll soon put a stop to that. Red Jason, I wonder if...
I'm washing my hair. No, I'm not. I've just remembered. I'm going with Commander Weatherby from security.
Well, that should be safe enough. No, perhaps you're right. This isn't the time.
Oh, yes, it is. I demand to know why you turned down a bloke like me. A young, devil-may-care, handsome, gay, debonair, eligible chap like myself for a rich, high-ranking, socially superior bloke like... Perhaps I shouldn't have asked.
Oh, on the contrary, if you really want to know, it's your technique that is at fault.
My what?
Your technique.
What's wrong with it?
You haven't got any.
That's it. So much for my Steve McQueen image. I've got a good mind to go back to my cabin and pour my soccer boots for men aftershave lotion straight down the loo.
Now, look, Leslie. I don't want to hurt you.
Go on. Hurt him. I haven't enjoyed a conversation so much since the solicitor told my dear wife Ramona that he'd accidentally put the house in my name. No, sir. This is important. Heather, what is wrong with him?
Nothing. If a girl wants to spend an entire evening chatting about the latest adventures of Noddy and Big Ears...
Aren't women funny?
The last heavy date we had, Leslie sneaked me into Gosport Park after the gates were shut.
Steady on.
Just to show me how the hands on his Mickey Mouse watch glowed in the dark.
I'm sorry you were disappointed. They glowed every other night.
This is ridiculous. Commander Mike, you've got to do something about this, idiot. I don't care what it is, but he's got to have a partner to take to the Sir Willoughby £1,200 welcome to him party.
This plain gooseberry.
Yes, I meant to warn you to watch out for them as well. They can't half catch you unawares.
Really?
Yes.
You know, Chief, you're the first person I've met who's had an unpleasant experience with a gooseberry.
Suffice it to say, sir, they don't bite, nip, or stick in you. But they don't half squelch.
Thank you for the warning. I'll watch out for them. Well, Chief, what time is our cast-off Casanova and the girlfriend you fixed up for him arriving?
Well, any minute now, sir. It's 2 minutes to snogging time.
Are you sure that this niece of your uncle's is going to turn up?
Undoubtedly, sir. Monkey showed her a photo of Steve McQueen with a sailor's hat drawn on it and told her that was her blind date.
Yes, very ingenious. When she meets Mr. Phillips, won't she notice the difference?
No, not if he keeps the peak of his hat turned down, his mouth shut, his face out of the light, she won't.
Oh, no, of course.
Yeah, just a minute. Get down. We can hear someone coming. Could be them.
No, honestly, I promise you, I'm not fooling. Wait till we get up to this park bench here, where it's dark, and you'll see his big boots and his ears glowing.
I can hardly wait.
Yes, it is exciting, isn't it?
Cool stone, the flipping crow.
Now, what happens on Mickey's birthday? Your cufflinks light up as well.
You're just not interested, are you? It's not everybody who's got a Mickey that glows in the dark, you know.
I begin to see what Heather means about his technique.
Yeah, so do I, sir. If I was a woman of the opposite sex, cross-eyed, bald as a coot, and 120 years old, I wouldn't go out with him either. Well, not unless I was flaming desperate.
I say, what a surprise. Here is a park bench. Let us sit upon it and admire the view.
Whoever taught him that bit?
Me sins, I did.
Oh, well, that's more like it. Shall I sit upon your knee?
If you like.
But how can you? I'm still standing up.
I'm the steaming at the river. If it'll speed things up a bit, you sit upon my knee.
No, I can manage.
Well, come on, then. Put your arm around me and give me a kiss.
No, just a minute. No, you skipped a couple of questions. Hang on, before we go any further, I've got to pop behind the bushes.
Oh. Well, hurry up.
Yeah, I'll be as quick as I can.
Mr. Finnitz! Right over here. Yeah, watch out for the gooseberries, sir.
Yeah, thanks. I say, it's more comfortable back here than where we were.
Well, the view's better anyway. Look, the drag statement, Mr. Phillips. Look, will you go back there and get on with it?
How can I? She doesn't ask me the same questions you've told me the answers to. Besides, I'm not even sure I like her.
Not like her? Why not? She's blonde. A figure like Chinalola Brigadier. She's all dressed up by Jimmy Savile Row. She's got green boots to match her eyeshadow.
Yeah, possibly, but she's just not interested in my Mickey Mouse watch.
Well, you can't have everything.
Yeah.
I shan't be long now.
There. Never mind her questions. You give her Pertwee's answer.
If you say so. Hello again. Did you miss me?
Miss you? Just beaming up the river. I thought you were going to be behind there forever.
Oh, no, I just wanted to see how the gooseberries were coming along.
In the middle of the night?
Certainly. I can see them by the glow from my Mickey Mouse watch.
Oh, bully for you.
Oh, very kind. Yeah. Now, is there something you'd like to ask me?
Why?
Well, be reasonable. How can I give you the answers if you don't give me the questions?
Oh, yes, you've got a point there. All right, then. What would you say if I was to ask you what you thought of my figure?
Don't fight this thing, baby. It's bigger than both of them. That was my fault. No, you asked the wrong question to my... You must have skipped a few... Wait here a minute.
Hey, where are you going now, Batman?
Yeah, behind the bushes.
What, again?
I just wanted to check on my gooseberries. I can't be long.
Oh, great. I have your Mickey Mouse face on you. I'm going home.
Yeah, good night. And I mean, walk slowly and I'll catch you up.
But what went wrong that time?
She hadn't learned the same question paper. I don't know what her next question was going to be, but my answer was, if your mother and father enjoy it, why shouldn't we?
Well, what's wrong with that? As long as she asked you if you'd like to taste her mother's cooking.
Yeah, fine, but how would it have sounded if she'd asked me almost any other question?
Yeah, I see your point, but in any case, it doesn't matter. In the nicest possible way, Nunky's niece is obviously totally unsuitable for you. And she's just not your type.
Now, that just shows how little you know about me. She's exactly my type. Blonde, figure like Gina Lola Brigadier, dressed like Jimmy Savile Row, and green boots to match her eyeshadow. What more could a man ask?
A cake hole that doesn't sound like someone falling down a tin can every time she says something.
Now, don't you worry about that. I'm going to give her elocution lessons. What's more, I intend to escort her to Sir Willoughby Todd Hunter Brown's Welcome to Him party on Thursday. So there.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure... Ladies and gentlemen, could I have your attention, please? Ladies and gentlemen, this is old Thundergun, and I mean Captain Povey speaking. Oi!
Allow me, Captain Povey, sir. Belter!
Amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, it is my doubtful, I mean undoubted pleasure to welcome Sir Willoughby Todd Hunter Brown's guest of honor, himself. And here he is to say a few words to you.
Thank you, Padre. Ladies and gentlemen of the Transport Museum, after presenting you with these indisputable facts, how many of us can possibly? Whilst we are on the subject, I am sure we all hope that the captain of our side will enjoy his retirement to the full with this magnificent gold watch. And I'm sure that goes for his dear watch as well. Oh, no, my friend, this is not the answer. for with the aid of colour television, we have seen many a fine performance on the centre court. But today, Matron has excelled herself. However, before doing my final lap of honour, which culminates in my laying a foundation stone, I want each and every one of you to ask yourself, then, after tea and cakes in the martini, I shall have great pleasure. In declaring this railway station closed. And after forcing our head gardener under glass, it only remains for me to enroll the name of our Prime Minister on the gymnasium wall, which is due for destruction next week. I've finished.
Nuts! Good afternoon, Captain Povey, sir.
A nuts.
It's evening, you idiot.
Ah, what do you know about these things?
I certainly do. Nuts! Who wants some nuts?
Excuse me, Captain Purvis, sir. I believe you've met Commander Weatherby before.
Oh, dear, I certainly have.
How do you? Captain, but in the end, I'm right.
So kind. And may I be the first to welcome you onto our festive gathering, in which I trust that the donated jellies, blancmanges, and soggy sponges will come to pass under your cake hole in a plentiful abundance. So fill your mush. Fill your mush.
I'm a slave. I'm terribly grateful, but I couldn't pop up. Haven't you got a funny voice?
Only when I talk. Won't you come this way, Commander, and meet the rest of our multitude?
Hey, Kitty.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Never mind that. You see Mr. Phillips?
Yes, sir.
Often.
Thin, blonde gentleman.
I'm not asking for a description. Where is he?
Behind you, sir. Snugging himself, stoofy.
Oh, thank you, Teddy.
Nuts!
This way for the nuts.
I never know whether that was an insult.
Hello, Mr. Phillips.
Oh, for steaming up the river. Can't a bloke have a whistling hog with his bird in hand and the Johnny Orner without some geezer up in his north stuff?
I beg your pardon, Mr. Phillips.
Granted, now hop it, mate. I'm giving Nut his niece an elocution lesson.
That's right, and they're working absolutely splendidly, except for one jolly old thing.
What's that, Myrtle?
I don't think a lady of my class can afford to be seen talking to a gent of your coarseness. So with all possible acceleration, I'm pushing off out of it.
Now, wait.
I shouldn't bother, Mr. Phillips. It wouldn't have worked. Ah.
Perhaps you're right. I think I'll go up on deck. I may even throw myself over the side. On second thought, I won't bother. I've just remembered. I can't swim. So if nobody cares, I'll just go up on deck and have a cigarette.
Yeah, Mr. Phillips!
Well?
You don't smoke either.
Excuse me, Mr. Mason. I've been asked to make an urgent pronouncement.
Really? Who by?
Well, word has leaked out about the party, sir. So the editor of Girls, Giggles and Garters has come off foot from his pulsating press in Fleet Street, sir.
Yeah, pulsating would be the word.
Yeah, exactly, sir. And he's also brought with him Miss D,
the outright, and I do mean outright, the outright winner of the competition.
Miss D? Well, that was D for Dim. Mr. Phillips' entry.
Yes, sir. And as the rest of our entries are in the correct order, the evening out with Miss D goes to him.
Oh, but when does it take place?
It already has, sir. If you care to take the butchers out of the porthole, you'll see that they're having a right swinging evening together now, sir.
Oh. You think it's all right?
Ah, go on, sir. Be my guest.
Go on, you're kidding. You don't mean it.
I do, you know. Come over here, behind the sea boat. I'll show you.
Oh, I don't know about that. I know what sailors are.
Come on, be brave.
Well, all right then.
There you are.
You're right. His big boots and his ears do glow in the dark.
Oh, glory. Sometimes I think he'll never learn.
I'm sure he won't, Chief. I'm sure he won't.
John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray starred in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the Chief Petty Officer of Commander Weatherby. Leslie Phillips was the Sub-Lieutenant. Stephen Murray was the CO. Captain Povey was played by Richard Cordicott. Myrtle was Heather Chasen. Sir Willoughby Todhunter Brown was Daniel Evans. The Padre was Michael Bates. And Abel Stephen Tinney was played by Laurie Wyman. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.